We're here with Ben Lucas, the director of Other Life, which has its world premiere at this year's Sydney Film Festival. Ben, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
So, Ben, Other Life, tell us about the film.
Sure. Well, it's actually based on a novel called Solitaire, written by Kelly Eskridge, who's an American author. She's based in Seattle. That novel circled the Hollywood system for years and years. I think as far back as the 90s, it was in the works, and at some point they talked about it as being this huge kind of Inception-scaled thriller. And as most film projects do, it just didn't get up for one reason or another. And it ended up on our laps down here in Australia, and we had to think about how we could convert this quite big film into an indie Aussie sci-fi contemporary thriller. And that was an interesting challenge, a great challenge actually. So you'll see that there are actually three writers on the credits. I'm the third in line to kind of take it and try and adapt it to an Australian story, basically. And we didn't try to really acknowledge its American roots. We distinctly set it in Perth. We set it in Australia. It is now an Australian story. We took the very broad concept that was the novel and did quite a lot of work to adapt it to something local.
And it's quite an amazing concept. It's futuristic. What can you do with sort of brain altering or change things that ultimately or fundamentally change aspects of how you see the world?
The kind of the notion that kind of attracted me to the idea in the first place was just this one little soundbite that came from the source material, which is just that fantasy and reality are chemically identical as far as your brain is concerned. That's interesting. You know, that the things we experience and our memories get filtered down into noughts and ones, you know, in the back of our brain. But so do our dreams and hopes and ambitions and the things that we imagine. And they do all just kind of look the same. And so the notion in this sci-fi is, what if you could construct a drug that could rewrite, reprogram, or edit all those noughts and ones and either create or change memories to suit, you know, whatever you want. That means you can turn sad memories into happy ones. You could delete sad ones. You could just kind of reshuffle your whole brain if you wanted to. I think that has a lot of potential.
I think it does. It also has a lot of moral complications.
Yeah.
And goes into quite some detail in the film on those issues.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, we have really tried to center it on the story of one girl and her obsession with trying to get this technology to work for her own reasons. You know, that is first and foremost her story, the story of Ren Amari. That's the name of the character, played by Jessica DeGaal. And, yeah, part of, in fact, making it a contained thriller was to really do away with all the big set pieces and all the kind of, you know, the bits and bobs that would have made it that Hollywood film it was originally, and just make it really kind of taut and more psychological in nature as opposed to action-driven.
And there was also some amazing visuals in the film. It was absolutely translucent in parts. How did you go about accomplishing that?
Just bloody-mindedness. You know, we're a very low-budget film, but you do what you can to try and tell the story, you know, as visually as possible. Audiences don't care that your film was low-budget, you know. Like, there is no sliding scale in terms of the ticket price you pay. People want to be entertained, and you have to deliver to those expectations regardless of your own limitations. So, you know, I'm a very visual filmmaker. I do try and push the limits of what tools we have. Certainly this one was right up against the edge of the envelope in terms of what we could get away with.
Yes, you filmed in and around so many different parts of the cities, and you can see it's a local film. How did you find filming on location?
Perth's great. I've shot another film in Perth, another feature rather, and yeah, I'll always choose to go back there if I can. Not only does the state and the city offer a lot, but it just seems to be there are a few crews there that are just awesome. You know, they're the people who are in it for the art, and that's actually surprisingly hard to find in other cities. I'm sure there are people who disagree with me, but I'd love to have that conversation. And that just means that, you know, I'm not one of those filmmakers who needs to be the auteur, you know, who needs to have that level of control. But it is nice when you're there for artistic reasons rather than anything else. You know, that the people will do the extra hours or put in the extra effort or even just think a little bit more laterally about how to solve problems on a day-to-day basis. It just makes the whole process of making the film better. And then as far as actually choosing Perth as a setting, that was easy. We've got this sort of, you know, near future idea. One, everything is contemporary except for this one piece of new technology, right? The mining boom burst in Perth a little while ago. It's now a center of innovation in our story. So why not say that Perth is the next Silicon Valley? You know, that money's got to go somewhere. So that's kind of this imagined future we're creating, where Perth has just taken that turn towards technology. And our story is set in one of those startups.
No, it's fantastic. I was in Perth over the summer. It's an amazingly creative city. And yeah, seeing the film, which is very creative in itself, I think there are a lot of fans of some classic sci-fi cerebral films like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind who would very much enjoy this film. Were there major pictures that you drew inspiration from or other directors in putting this film together?
I have personal influences. I don't know if they were necessarily influences on this film, though. You know, like we really did try our best to be original. At the same time, that's really not an objective in itself either. You know, it is the result of our combined efforts in terms of, you know, what all our influences were. I mean, our DP, for example, he brought in all these influences that I hadn't even considered. But they were great references. And so we started looking at, you know, all of his stuff and his photography for lighting and color palette references. But then I just sort of had tonal stuff that comes from more like, you know, directors I admire, like Aronofsky and Danny Boyle and David Fincher. I just kind of consider these guys the modern masters. And I definitely draw a lot from the pages of their books, you know. I don't know if any of their films are necessarily like this one, but
not quite.
No, exactly. But tonally, you know, it's good to be inspired.
Now, you chose to do a science fiction film in a sense, and we're seeing quite a few great science fiction films recently coming out of Australia, including this one. Do you think there is a new appeal or burgeoning appeal for science fiction in Australia?
I hope so. Yeah. I have this funny feeling that we, it's like we haven't respected our audiences as much as we could have, perhaps. You know, people have an imagination and it's okay to entertain that imagination, but we seem to have been stuck in the true story rut for a while. True stories are great. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, sometimes truth is far more interesting than fiction. Like, that is just a given. But as far as producing genre films, as far as being able to create original content, that seems to be a phase that we're pulling out of in the local industry, which is great. We should. Why not?
I think so too. And lastly, the world premieres at the Sydney Film Festival. Yeah. Are you excited to show the film to a Sydney audience?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a long time coming.
Ben, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing it on the big screen.
Cheers. Thank you.